Welcome to BitCast on Podcast One, the video game podcast with the Axeman.
Welcome back to the BitCast. 2016 marked a special year for a long-lasting video game franchise, Sonic the Hedgehog. It was the 25th anniversary of the series, and as Sega's been known to do, they released an anniversary game for the occasion, or in this case, two anniversary games, Sonic Mania and Sonic Forces. Well, I would say that, but both games have been delayed until 2017, the 26th anniversary of Sonic. Ooh. It's unfortunate, but the only other option would be to rush the games out while they were undercooked. And after what happened on the 15th anniversary of the series, I wouldn't really blame them. So, Sega went ahead and delayed Sonic Mania and Sonic Forces, giving them the extra time that they needed. Sonic Mania was released in the summer of 2017 for Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Microsoft Windows. So, basically the big three and PC. The game was a love letter to the original days of Sonic, adopting its style and aesthetics, letting you play around as Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles, all that kind of stuff. It was even developed by a few former ROM hack developers, while the main Sonic team worked on Forces. Mania was a hit. Most reviewers gave it flattering scores. Not a perfect game, but a well-received one, to be sure. And then, come November, we get hit with the second half of the anniversary package, Sonic Forces, available for all the same consoles as Mania. This time, Sonic's nemesis, Dr. Eggman, has very nearly taken over the world, and Sonic and friends make up a resistance faction to take him on. They even include a character whom the player can customize, while Sonic's classical form arrives to team up with the regular Sonic, much like in Sonic Generations, the 20th anniversary game. And Sonic Forces was not as well-liked as Mania. Not at all. Many of the same sources who sang Mania's praises turned around and gave Forces due criticism. And so goes the tale of Sonic the Hedgehog's 25th anniversary. It started strong with Mania, and then Forces just couldn't keep the momentum going. Even after delaying the game, it just didn't cut it. People weren't fond of the custom-made character's presence in the story. There was the fact that there didn't seem to be much depth in the gameplay. There have also been complaints about the game's length and difficulty and the presentation of a new villain named Infinite. A lot of the story elements were under fire. Even then, Sonic Forces isn't considered to be some kind of unplayable broken mess, unlike Sonic the Hedgehog 2006. It's nothing terrible, but it's nothing great either. At least that's the general consensus. Another game that would have been something real special if not for Sega's overwhelming ambition. This seems to be a long-standing problem with their Sonic games. For decades, the Sonic series has come out and gotten thrashed or ignored because the developers just couldn't rein themselves in. They always get these new ideas that they want to try, but they never seem to question them or make sure that the ideas work well enough. Even the games that most people at least like, such as Sonic Adventure 1, most would agree that it hasn't aged very well, even if it was very good at the time. Very impressive for its time, even. But it had a lot of ideas that just wouldn't really fly today. And it's really, I think there was a quote on a Sega forum that I came across. I'll say it word for word. Their whole design philosophy seems to be why not, as opposed to why. Supersonic Boom on the Sega forum, whoever you are, I couldn't have said it better myself. So I decided to take a look at Sonic Forces on YouTube and see for myself. There's a difference between seeing and playing, but I actually don't think Sonic Forces looks too bad. I'd play it for myself, and I'll even do a future BitCast episode about it. But that's for another day. As I'm saying, though, I think the game looks alright. It's one that I would approve of. But then again, I've always been lenient with video games. And as an appreciator of creativity and art, I'm inclined to forgive a failure born from overambition more than a failure from laziness and apathy. And yeah, those two aren't always separate from each other, but I can at least appreciate what Sega wanted to do with Forces. Besides, whatever black mark Sonic has, none of them could ever compare to that earlier game I mentioned, Sonic 2006. And that's the real subject of the episode. Sonic the Hedgehog is the official name of the game, and it's nicknamed Sonic 06 so that people don't confuse it for the original. To say that game is bad would be quite an understatement, and beating a dead horse. But I can't help but be reminded of it since we're now in the aftermath of another overly ambitious anniversary project. Besides, there might still be people who don't know the full story, or who think that the reputation is exaggerated. It's not. Just look it up on YouTube and you'll see for yourself. A lot of people have researched the kinds of things that made Sonic 06 the way it is, and one can start to notice that even though their later games aren't as bad, the Sonic team hasn't really learned the lesson that they needed to learn, at least not entirely. Before I talk about my findings, though, I want to tell new listeners about how the game is so bad. So, what's wrong with Sonic 06? Where to start? The controls are very hit and miss. They don't always respond to your button inputs. The game was also made with the Havok physics engine, but it wasn't implemented properly, so the game's telekinetic character can have a field day with all different items in the game, misusing them and causing glitches to happen by trying to carry too many objects or carry certain objects in certain ways. The character models will sometimes spasm and freak out based on where you're having them stand, and the computer-controlled characters will fall to their deaths while they're following you around, with no sense of self-preservation to use their abilities. Almost any game has glitches where you can move outside the boundaries and end up in places where you're not supposed to be, but the difference is, in Sonic 06, you can do this on accident from just normal playing. Most of the time, you have to try to get something like this going, but here, it's just oops. Worse is that sometimes your character will bounce around the different set pieces of a level over bottomless canyons. Well, in this game, you can actually be killed from that. Yes, you can die in a sequence that's supposed to be scripted. How does that happen? But this crummy cake for Sonic's birthday has more than just one layer. The game is very slow to load. Anytime you're about to watch a cutscene, or anytime a scene ends, anytime you transition between hub levels, or you enter or exit a proper stage, or you begin or end a minigame, or you encounter or you kill a boss, before and after everything, there will be a loading screen. And there are lots of events that require loading screens. Even if the minigame was about 10 seconds, there will be loading screens to sandwich it. And those loading screens will take about 16 seconds each. For those keeping score, the loading screens that surround the minigame will combine and last for 3 times as long as the minigame. Get this, sometimes Sonic and the other Hedgehog characters have to duel each other, or they'll encounter a boss monster. And after the scene, there's loading. The boss will strike a pose and say a one-liner, and then you load again. Now the boss fight begins. Did we really need that 4-second blurb from the boss if it's gonna load so much and be so taxing on the game to have it happen? Oh, and if you ever die, you will have to deal with the loading screens again. And if a minigame happens to have more than one part to it, there will be loading screens separating all the different parts. The reason for a lot of the loading is the fact that the game renders a lot more than it needs to. For special events in town, like the fights or the minigames or the 4-second scenes, they render the entire town. Even if you can't go and see all of it, it's all loaded in. It all exists. There's no need for that, though. Some players have done the math, and in an average playthrough, which means they're including retakes, All of the loading times add up to over 2 hours. You could probably beat the original Sonic in that time, maybe even twice. Past the glitches in the loading, there's the repetitive and bland level design, and the sheer repetition. The game has 3 campaigns, one for Sonic, one for Shadow the Hedgehog, and one for the newcomer, Silver the Hedgehog. All 3 stories make use of the same 9 levels, and their plot lines are concurrent, so you'll be revisiting a lot of story beats and set pieces. One of the levels even repeats within itself, just copying and pasting a stretch of rooms, seemingly because they ran out of ideas. There's also the blatant padding in the form of town missions, the mini-games where the 3 hedgehogs have to do arbitrary tasks in order to progress the story. And speaking of the stories, they're all pretty shabby. Sonic has to repeatedly rescue the same princess from Dr. Eggman over and over, while occasionally getting some romantic moments with her. Except she's a realistic human and he's a cartoon hedgehog. Ew. And they really tried to make the humans in this game, Eggman included, look very realistic as much as possible. And Sonic and friends are all still as cartoony looking as possible. It's visually jarring. Silver's story deals with the fact that he lives in a post-apocalyptic future, and the game's true villain shows up to trick him into traveling to the present day to kill Sonic. Silver thinks he'll prevent the apocalypse, but this plot point is built on the fact that our hero will trust a complete stranger, a creepy one at that. And we all know that he's going to figure out the truth, because Sonic's well established. He's not going to cause the end of the world, and we all know it. So it's just a grind waiting for Silver to finally figure it out. Shadow's storyline is the least contemptible of the 3. He gets wrapped up in the villain's origin story and tries to put him down while finding the truth. There are problems with it, but Sonic and Silver's stories are easily worse. And out of all of these, Sonic, our title character, has the least to do with the overall arc of the game. That's a little weird. I could go on all day. In fact, this is already proving to be the longest bitcast yet. At the rate I'm going. You get the picture, though, right? Sonic 06, by gameplay and presentation, is a bad game. So how could Sega, how could a AAA company, get away with this? Most would say it was due to them trying to rush the game in time for Christmas sales, and for Sonic's anniversary. That's not too far off the mark. That definitely played a role. But what really got my attention was an article by Andrea Ritsu on Andrea Ritsu's personal blog explaining what went wrong in the development. Short answer? Everything. Long answer? They needed a game for Sonic's 15th, and they needed ideas. So the developers made some headway, and the game's E3 debut was just cinematic because they couldn't really have anything playable yet. While that whetted the public's appetite, the team knew that they had to hurry and get a playable demo ready. They wanted to get the game playable on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. They also wanted to make it playable for Nintendo's new console, the Wii. It wouldn't be anything new to them. They ported games all the time, and while it would be a daunting task for brand new consoles, that was something that came with the territory. Except the Wii couldn't handle the game unless it had a lot more attention from the team. So the director of the project, Yojiro Ogawa, split the team in half and went off to assist the guys working on the Wii version, leaving someone else to direct the PlayStation and Xbox team. But before long, Ogawa decided it'd be too much trouble to port the game for the Wii. So instead, he and his guys decided to start over and make a whole new Sonic game. Rather than going back and unifying the developers, he just decided to keep going and make a new game. Sonic and the Secret Rings. And spoiler alert, people didn't like that one. It wasn't as bad as Sonic 06, but it wasn't very well received. Way to go, guys. While this is happening, the demos and the teaser footage kept impressing people, and this motivated the Sonic team to keep going forward with Sonic 06. They had to live up to the hype. One other factor is that one of the producers left behind. They left the PlayStation to Xbox team. His name was Yuji Naka. He went off to form his own independent studio, and graciously, he decided to take some of the workers with him, downsizing the development staff even more. The scheduled release date was fast approaching, and the script needed some changes. In fact, the player could notice a few inconsistencies in the script, suggesting that these revisions were done at the last minute, after they'd already started recording the actors. The game's villain is sealed away by a scepter, but there's at least one line in the game that mentions a book doing it instead. And at the same time, there are entire areas that had to be removed from the game, some of which are still implied in the script. This would also explain why some of the scenes in the story don't match up with the levels of the game. Hastily working on the script, E3 finally arrived again, and it was time to show the demo to the world. Sonic Team rolled it out and proved prophetic. People were confused by what was going on, Sonic was a little hard to control, all that stuff. The game clearly needed fine-tuning, and people were willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, but the developers knew that they needed more time. Bad news is that Sega had already signed a deal with Microsoft that they'd launch Sonic on the 360 before the holiday season. And the Western version's advertising had a lot of emphasis on it being a 360 title, so they've already cashed the check. There's a bit more to the story than that. There's stuff regarding the demo being exposed to the crowd before an even worse game, but I feel like I've hit all the major points. As you can see, Sonic 06 never had a chance. All the company politics conspired against it. Maybe if the devs didn't spread themselves so thin, or if they didn't jump ship. Maybe if Sega wasn't quick to jump the gun with their Microsoft deal. I feel like Andrea made a comment that summarizes it best. Sonic 2006 is not a game that was designed. It's a game that was salvaged. Seriously. That line stuck out to me, and Googling it is how I found the article again, so if you want to read it for yourself, there you go. Or I could just tell you to go to AndreaRitsu.com, it is her personal blog. Either way, it goes to show that a company can't ignore the development process. They were too ambitious, thinking they could get their new game out on several consoles, thinking they could do it with a reduced staff, and thinking they could make an all-new Sonic game on the side, when the team clearly needed everyone it could get. They've learned from this in some ways, but their overzealous tendencies are still there to this day, and it shows. One thing that they thankfully did get right, maybe the only thing that the game got right, was the soundtrack. It was composed by a number of people working with Sega. Mariko Nanba and Tomoya Otani did most of my favorites. And they also had help from Hideaki Kobayashi, Takahito Eguchi, Jun Senoi, Seiro Okamoto, and someone named Taihei. There were performances by the performers Crush 40, Zebrahead, and Bentley Jones, respectively singing the theme songs of Shadow, Sonic, and Silver. And like I said before, the game's music is actually good. Great, even. The only thing to be great in this entire mess. And the soundtrack was even influential in a few ways for the rest of the series, because Dr. Eggman's leitmotif in this game was reused for his appearances in Sonic Unleashed and Sonic Colors. Favorite songs for the day are the collective themes of Crisis City, the collective themes of Kingdom Valley, and Aquatic Base Level 1. Crisis City is a song that comes in four parts, depending on where in the level you are. They're suitably exciting, capturing the urgency of running through a burning metropolis wasteland. Kingdom Valley is structured similarly, and it evokes the same excitement, but with a more mystical feel to it, befitting the exploration of an ancient ruins. Aquatic Base Level 1 is described as IDM, or Intelligent Dance Music. It's certainly got an ominous and analytical mood to it that one wouldn't expect right away in a Sonic game. The piano really helps sell the whole underwater feeling, which is appropriate given it's an aquatic base. And there you have it. Sonic the Hedgehog, 2006. I doubt Sonic Forces will be any kind of gravestone for the world's favorite hedgehog. In fact, Sega might look to milk Sonic Mania for all it's worth, and rake the cash that way. I fancy myself an optimist. I think they can take this one in stride and learn from it. I thought Sonic Colors and Sonic Generations were very good games, and a lot of people would agree with that. So the modern formula can be done well. They just need to keep in mind what works and what doesn't, and stick with what they know. But hey, I've never developed a game, so that's easy for me to say. Anyway, that's it for today's BitCast. I will see you on the next one.
Listen to BitCast anytime on podcast1.com and on the Podcast One app.